We have Raptors forward Justin Champagne joining us. By the way, just to let people in, this is an off day for the team, but there are no off days for you as you're still in getting extra shots. So we appreciate you taking that time, man. Thank you, Justin.
Yes, sir.
All right. So since you're new to the team and all, like, we really wanted to get to know you and sort of highlight your story. And so why don't you tell us a little about yourself? Like, how did you grow up? What was your background? What was your family like? All that kind of stuff.
Originally, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I got a twin brother who also plays basketball, but he plays at St. John's University. I got a little brother who's 5, and my mom and pops, Christina and Ranford. Growing up, you know, everybody kind of just doubted us, like saying that we can't do it, we can't make it. You know, the way I play, my skill set, my size, it's not going to add up to me being an NBA player. But, you know, I kind of just took all that and just ran with it, basically. Like, okay, like, I'm keeping it in the back of my head as like a chip on my shoulder and some motivation to prove everybody wrong. And it's worked out pretty well for me. You know, I got my offer to Pittsburgh. I committed right away when I got that one. I believed in what was going on over there. I went over there, did my thing, and now I'm here and I'm trying to make it happen.
Yeah, no, and listen, you are making it happen, man, because every interview I see with Nick Nurse, he's always sort of talking about you and sort of keeping you in mind. And, you know, we've seen you play pretty consistently over the last couple games here, and you're doing really well. But so I was actually doing some research on you in preparation for the show. And in one interview, you said that you and your twin brother, Julian, who, as you mentioned, you know, is also playing as well. He's at St. John. I think he had 34 last week. You know, no big deal. You know, just light work for you guys. But
it's a regular day, you know.
Yeah. But OK, so I was doing this research, though, and apparently you got cut from the sixth grade basketball team. Mm-hmm. So tell us that story. What happened?
Me and my brother both tried out. It was MNCDA. That was the name of the school. We tried out for the sixth grade basketball team. I had a brand new coach, and his son was also trying to participate. But me and his son never got along. Like, never got along.
Wow.
And then when we went to, like, the tryout, me and my brother were, like, really just killing him the whole tryout. Like, the whole tryout, blocking the shots, getting layups on him, hitting threes in his face. And, like, you know, when we play, we talk a lot. We say we're going to let you know that we're killing you type thing. You know, like, a little bit of trash talk is what it is. But I guess the coach didn't like that. Like, he just cut us. So, like, we took it super personal. At the time, I thought it was about, like, not being good. But the kid eventually said, like, yo, like, he's my dad. And then it all made sense, you know?
Oh, you guys, you didn't even know?
I didn't know at first.
Okay.
I didn't know.
Would you have not blocked him if you knew that was?
No, I was still going to block him. Okay. I was still going to block him. Yeah, I need that.
No, that's horrible, man. I mean, you're probably only like 11 years old, and already the politics start to play in, you know?
Yeah, I went outside. After he made a team right there in the gym right after the tryout. He got cut. I went outside. I was crying. And then my brother came outside, and he was crying. I'm like, man, they got us. But it just kind of just like fueled us to just be better and better and better every day we got stuck in that court. So I appreciate him for cutting me, I guess.
I mean, I guess so. I'm pretty certain that you and your brother, Julian, are more successful basketball players at this current moment, not to throw shade on anyone specifically. All right. So I was also doing some research and I heard that your first sport was actually soccer, not basketball, since your dad played some college soccer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, actually, because I think OG, his first sport was soccer as well. Pascal, the same deal, Precious. And then y'all all grew up to like 6'6", and they're like, okay, you might want to try basketball. But yeah, what was that like, man? So I'm assuming like your dad was the one that kind of put you on like sports and this path in general?
Basketball was actually my third sport. Soccer was my first because my dad obviously played till like we wanted to follow his footsteps. Then it was baseball, and then it was basketball. Basketball, we just played because we always were tall.
Wow.
But I love soccer. Soccer was really fun for me.
Okay.
I thought I was pretty good when I was younger. But then I started growing and everybody, like, I went from forward to center field and then to goalie, you know? So, like.
Oh, they kept moving you back?
Exactly. As the taller I got, the more back I went. So I was like, I can't play this no more. You know, I just didn't want to sit in the goal. I wanted to stay and be on the field, keep people in their shins or whatever, be a legend out there. But. Just didn't work out that way for me. My dad understood, though. You know, once we got taller than him, he was like, all right, I kind of understand now.
No, that's fair.
Now you got it.
What was your dad a baller? Like, did he, like, what position did he play too, like, in soccer? Because I'm a big soccer
fan. I think he played center mid, I think, or forward. One of the two.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah, you know, he was nice. He was nice. He just had a couple of injuries to his knee. I think he tore the ACL twice.
Damn.
That's what it was. Like, he was really good. Like, won a national championship at St. John's. Like,
wow.
He was really just had injury. That's what it was.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, man, there's good genes in the gene pool right now. So, all right. So you mentioned earlier, man, you committed to Pitt and you spent 2 years there. Second time in your sophomore year, you were named first team all ACC. Tell us about like the process to decide like coming out of college at that specific time, joining the draft. Basically just I'm sure it was like such a wild summer for you last year.
Really, but it was like for me, like at first, I was kind of like didn't know if I was gonna do it or not do it. Like I was like, I mean, just see what's going on, talk to a few people, say get some workouts, and then just see like how it's gonna pan out. But I don't know. I went to LA with my agent. We done worked out for a couple of weeks, and I just said to myself, I said, I think I'm ready. I think I have the skill set and the mindset to do it. So I kind of like what Fred did. He just bettered himself. I just told everybody like I'm gonna double down on me. And I know what I'm capable of doing. I know that if I put my mind to it, I can go do it. And my coaches at school had the full support of them. They obviously it was a bittersweet moment for them to see me go, but at the same time, they were also happy for me. Like I still speak to them all the time to this day. And it was rough. It was rough at first, just thinking like I gotta, I'm saying, pick my stuff up and move scenery and really try to take myself to the next level. But it was fun. It was a fun process, all in it. But I'm happy I did it. I'm here now. I'm making a name for myself and trying to make a way.
Well, I mean, listen, you said it's a fun process, but I gotta imagine like it must have been a really whirlwind time. Like how many teams did you work out for? How many people kind of told you some lies about, what they're gonna do with you? And then eventually sort of finding that your way to Toronto.
That was the worst part, is the traveling pre-draft for sure. I did, I think, 16 or 17 teams.
In how many days?
I picked up a lot at the end. Like at the end, I was like I think 2 weeks straight, I was on the road. Team. Like it was bad. Like
Okay, wow.
I would have like after I did pre-draft in LA, but once I left LA to go back to Pittsburgh, like just work out and be with my friends and family, it was like every other day I was leaving. So it was a lot. It was a lot in a short amount of time.
Now, I mean, I don't want to take you to a darker place, but I'm sure on draft night it was probably a little bit disappointing that you didn't get a name called.
Yeah, it was for sure.
Like, who were you with on draft night? Sort of what was that process? What were your emotions like? Who was your support system?
I was with my whole family, my agent, and the other guys in our agency. So I had Primo, Eves, and Eugene in there. It was just Primo got drafted 12. So like I was so happy for him, like so I was happy already. But then like once I wanted to go to Toronto regardless, I didn't want to go nowhere else. So after Toronto picked, I just locked off the whole draft. Like I was upset. Like I shed a few tears, but I right after the draft was done, they called me like, yo, I want to give you a 2A. So a couple other teams called me too, but I knew where I wanted to go. So it worked out for the best because I got to end up where I wanted to play, but at the same time it hurt because the dream is to get your name called. And I thought I was gonna get my name called because of what I did in college, but it is what it is.
I mean, it's good that the Raptors picked you up because clearly you're making an impact. But like, you mentioned it was always Toronto, and this is something you said back in training camp as well. I remember hearing your first interview, a media day and stuff like that. And like, why Toronto in particular? Is it the connection with the agent with Todd? Because he's also Pascal's agent. Did he kind of help you guide, towards this franchise and sort of what they're able to do?
When I came on my workout to Toronto before the draft, he was like, I'm saying, be mindful, like it's a really good organization. Just go in there, see what you like about it, and then we'll talk after. But like the moment I went in there, I just had these feelings like where I know somewhere is the right place for me. Like same thing with Pittsburgh. Like, I went on my visit and I committed. I wanted to commit on my visit. Like my parents told me like just wait a little bit, but I just knew like all right, this is where I want to go. I'm gonna end up going here. And I came here and it was just like a family atmosphere. Like everybody was so happy, smiling, showing love, making you feel like you're a part of the family, even though you haven't even been drafted yet. You know what I'm saying? So it was a really like out of all the teams I've been into, like I would say like they were the best. Like front office, employee, everybody. It was just crazy. Like everybody felt like together as one. So I love that, and that's what really drew me in.
Wow. Well, I mean, you mentioned that family atmosphere. I mean, so you're one of, I believe, four rookies on the team right now, Scotty, Delano, David Johnson as well. Now, I feel like most rookie classes, they kind of just bond together. Like you see Fred and Pascal, they came into the league together. They're still really close to this day. Do you feel that same type of closeness with your current class right now?
For sure. But I thought those are all my dogs. Like, I look at them as brothers. You know what I'm saying? I've only known them for what, a couple months now. But those guys, I love them. They're mad cool, mad fun to be around. And hopefully, we can stick together for a while.
Is there like a leader of the group? You know how like, because we knew right away Fred was going to be the leader of that group, because just because of his personality. Do you guys, out of the four of you guys, is there like a guy that clear cut stands out in terms of like they stir the pot and they're like the guy who leads all the activities or whatever?
Nah, we just move as one. There's no real like someone's above anybody. Like, we just move as one, really.
Okay.
We're all young though still. So, you know, it's kind of just like fun to be around each other.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about your game though. Cause you know, we've talked a lot already about sort of your history, but we got to talk about your game. So from day one in summer league, it was very obvious that you had a knack for the ball. Every time I hear you in an interview, people are always asking you, why are you so good at rebounding? And you essentially usually say like, I just go get it. You know, like I have a good sense for the ball. Like I play hard, but no, realistically though, like you're 6'6", but you consistently win rebounds over 7-footers. Like you realize that that's rare, you know? Yeah. So what do you think is rare about yourself in that regard?
I just think like, I don't know. It is partly skill, but a lot of it is just mindset. Like just wanting to go get the ball. Like, all right, like I know the team needs this offensive rebound. This one would help the team get an extra possession or extra three or whatever it may be. So just go get it, like, you know? But a lot of it is just like a lot of big guys, like, they don't really look around. Like, they're 7 foot. Obviously, they know they're going to get the rebound over a lot of guys. So they kind of just go try and get it. But, like, just, like, give them a little nudge here and there, get them off their balance, and then you're able to go get it. Like, yesterday, I had one on off a free throw. And all I had to do was, like, literally just nudge him in his back a little bit and then just go up and get it. You know? So it's kind of – it's partly, like, knowing where to hit guys and where to be on the floor. But a lot of it is just mindset and having a mental toughness to say, I'm going to go get this rebound over anybody.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think like this system kind of works for you, right? Because Nick is allowing a lot of guys to chase the glass, especially because you guys are playing a lot of like two center lineups. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you come in the game, you're playing three. I just imagine like opposing threes trying to box you out. I mean, against the Suns game that we just talked about, you have five offensive rebounds in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like it feels like Nick is giving you guys that license to crash the glass and trusting that you guys are still going to be able to get back in transition.
Every time I get it, he tells me go.
Yeah.
He says, don't even just go in the glass. That's my job. I know my job, so you know I'm going to continue to do it.
Well, I mean, you know, speaking about this in terms of Nick's role and sort of things that he's told you about your role here, what are those conversations like between you and Coach? It seems like you, out of a lot of the players here, really understand, like, what you're supposed to do night to night, and you come and do it consistently.
It's just energy. Energy is the main thing. Just whenever I get to play, whenever I get a chance to go out there, you know what I'm saying, and do what I do, just bring energy. You know, because a lot of nights, sometimes we don't have energy. Like, it's an empty gym, it's no fans, no real home court event. You know, so we got to find ways to bring energy, and that's my job, is to go out there, get extra possessions, play defense, get steals, hit open threes, you know, get some layups, get some offensive rebounds, get some second chance points, and just really just be an all-around dog. That's really it. You know, just go out there, and whatever I got to go do to help the team and help those guys, you know what I'm saying, bring energy, that's what I do.
No, you're doing a great job with it, man. And you know, I was thinking back to, you know, the first game where you scored in the pros. It was in New York, of all places, right? Like, you know, that's home for you.
Yes, sir.
And so I wanted to ask you, man, like, how many people were in attendance for you? Like, what were your feelings? Because I think you made your first points came on free throws. So you're, like, all by yourself. Like, you must be in your head a little bit, too.
My mom, my whole family, my mom, dad, brother, grandmother, aunts, uncles, my brother's team. I had some friends in there. Everyone was in there. So when I got to that free throw line, I was like, I got to make this. I need these points. So I just kicked them like, all right, got to knock these down. Knocked them down. And I just remember my mom called me after the game, like almost in tears. Like, I'm so happy for you.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
It was definitely a great moment for me.
No, that's really cool, man. And you keep talking about how, like, your mom calls you during games. Your brother calls you during games, leaves voicemail. I mean, you're 20 years old, man. And obviously, you know, your brother's your twin, so he's also 20 as well. Like, what are you guys doing leaving voicemails? I feel like that's like a, you know, what happened to, like, leaving voicemail or voice notes or, like, sending each other WhatsApp or whatever? Like,
A voicemails are very old, you know, but it is. Sometimes he gets too excited, you know, he leaves a voicemail. My dad leaves a lot of voicemails. Every time my dad calls me, I get a voicemail if I don't answer the first
one. Okay.
My mom, like, she'll text me. My brother texts me too, but it's all mixed in there. Those are my guys. I love them. They always reach out to me and, you know what I'm saying, give me confidence and keep me going. So I'm missing love now.
That's really cool, man. Well, I mean, look, speaking of the emotions and everything like that, I mean, I got to ask you about that tip-in against OKC, because that was such an incredible moment. You guys all celebrated on the floor, and then they reviewed it and they're like, yeah, you know, it was like 0.1 seconds too late. Like, did that one keep you up a bit at night? You know, almost having your first game winner in, like, you know, one of your first, like, 10 games in the NBA?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it kept me up at night, but it definitely did hurt, though. It definitely did. because I really wanted to get that win, you know, especially like me coming in the game and changing the game a little bit by playing defense and getting some rebounds here and there. I wanted that one. I did want that one. But at the same time, it still gave me a boost of confidence, you know, to like let me know, like, all right, you belong. Like, you could do things to impact this game to help this team win. So it was a good boost of confidence, but at the same time, I'm saying it was horrible that we lost, especially by that little amount of time.
Yeah, for sure. No, that one kept me up at night. That's why I asked you about this, because I'm too emotionally invested in this team, unfortunately. All right, so, you know, Coach Nurse also speaks really highly of you. Like, even just after yesterday's game, you know, he was saying, like, you're knocking on the door of that, cracking the rotation and things like that. What kind of routines have you built for yourself to sort of earn Nick's trust in knowing that he can put you in the game and also knowing that you're putting in the work to deserve some of those minutes?
Work-wise, I show up every day early. I try to be the first one in the gym. Get in my 2 and 3s, hit the weight room, hit the treatment room. I just consistently making sure that my body's ready to go no matter what. And then my game is staying sharp. Like, just working out to the point where, like, I know, like, within my role, basically. Mm. So, like, I wouldn't come in here and start doing types of crazy dribble moves. Like, that's not my game. Like, yeah. My role. You know what I'm saying? Like, shoot corner threes, rebound, play defense. Like, I know my role. So, just doing that stuff, making everybody see that I know my role and I'm working on it. And then when I get in the game, just try to limit mistakes. You know, just do everything to the best of my ability. You know, like, you know, obviously no one's perfect. Like, I mess up here and there, but just trying to make the good outweigh the bad and so that he can trust me in certain moments in the game.
Yeah, and you mentioned that corner three. Like, is that the main focus of your development, just, like, in terms of skill-wise, right? Like, clearly you have a lot of other, you know, tools right now, but that three is obviously a huge tool for pretty much any player in the NBA these days. Like, is that the main focus for you? Because, you know, they've also sent you down to Mississauga to the 905. You know, that's part of life as a two-way player a little bit as well. But is that the main thing for you right now, making sure you can knock down that three?
For sure. Just making sure that if it comes to me when I'm open, I can knock it down. You know, just being able to be confident in my shot and confident in what I worked on. So that's been a major part of my development, just being able to knock down some open shots, you know.
Right.
I'm not going to be taking contested ones like that. Like, that's Fred and Pascal and OG. That's their job. And Gary, they got that. You know, I'm there to knock down the open ones when I get them.
Yeah, that's true. But that, again, that speaks to, like, you knowing your role, right? And that's why Nick trusts you, because you're not going to go in there and do some crazy stuff. You know, in terms of, like, your short-term goals or long-term goals, I wanted to ask you about that. Like, you know, what's one short-term goal you have for yourself and, like, the next, like, I don't know, till the end of the season, and maybe one, like, longer-term one?
Character rotation. That's my goal right here. Right in this moment, that's what I'm trying to work for, is to be consistent. I get consistent minutes and consistently play. And, you know what I'm saying? And just help the team win. Like, I want to win. I don't care if I was scoring 20. I want to win. You know, everyone win. We win. Everyone gets there. You know what I'm saying? I want to win it. And just for me, my personal goal right now is just to get in the rotation and make consistent impact on the daily basis.
No, I can see why the front office likes you, man. Because Masai, every single time he's in an interview, all he talks about is winning. Like, it's actually almost like it's like a running meme almost. But he's serious about it, you know. And all the players on the team are serious.
We should be. Losing is horrible. Like, it's a terrible feeling. Like, yeah, even yesterday, like, we should have won that game. And when we lost, like, it just hurt even more. Like, knowing that we have a really good team and that we can really win a lot of games, you know. So, I want to win. I want to do whatever I got to do to win. Whether that's go out there, score 0 points and get like 20 rebounds, 10 rebounds for however long I play. You know, like, whatever the team is going to do, I got to do.
Yeah, fair enough, man. I love that mentality. All right, to wrap up, I'm going to give you some rapid fire and hit you up with a couple of offbeat questions. All right, so first one, who's the toughest player you've had to guard so far in the league?
I would say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, okay.
That was tough. He's you know, shifty with it.
Yeah, no, he really is. And, yeah, no, I don't want to talk about the OKC game anymore. We just got to move on to the next question. Which player are you most looking forward to playing against that you haven't seen yet?
LeBron.
Yeah?
Yeah, LeBron. Yeah. You know, watching that, growing up, that's all I watched, LeBron. So I want to, you know, get on the court with him and then tell him, yeah, it's my turn. I'm here. Thanks.
I would love to make sure they got to get you mic'd up for that game. I need that sound clip immediately.
Yeah, they have to let me loose for that game. I will be talking to my stuff.
All right.
You know, so.
Or which veteran has been the most unreasonable with the rookie duty demands?
Nah, it hasn't even been bad this year. They actually said it's been pretty light this year.
No?
You know, like, Fred gave us some pink backpacks to wear. I had to get some playing cards on the plane. I carried Pascal's bags here and there. Like, it hasn't been bad at all this year. You know, nothing too unbearable, nothing too crazy.
Well, you know, I was looking at the footage of the team Halloween party.
They made a sing. That's what I was just about to say. They made a sing.
Yeah. What did they make you sing? Because it looked like, because I was like, This is the level of research I do. I was freezing the video of the open gym video, and I was looking at the karaoke lyrics. Did they make you sing Party in the USA?
We actually chose that song.
Why? Why is that so popular for NBA players to sing Party in the USA? Because they did this last year too with Malachi.
Because it's like a song that, like, you know, it's going to make you laugh. Like, it's not going to be too serious. Like, it's just, you know.
Okay.
It's fun. It's going to make everybody laugh. You're going to have fun doing it. So I just said, why not? Party in the USA.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, which team, speaking of music, though, which team has the worst taste in music in the locker room in terms of when they get the aux cord in practice or in the locker room or whatever? Which teammate, you're like, oh, man, what is that?
No comment.
No comment?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I keep my own headphones and I don't listen to them. Nobody.
Okay. No, that's a smart answer. I almost got you there. When you get your first full-time contract in the NBA, which is definitely coming, man, what will be your first, like, splurge purchase? Like, who are you trying to take care of?
My parents. I mean, my mom and dad, obviously. I want to, you know what I'm saying, help them with their bills and stuff like that. But I got to save until I get to a real, real contract. Like, I'm trying to work towards, like, you know, I know that's years away and stuff like that. But I want to get to, like, where Fred's at and Pascal and them are at. So once I get to that kind of contract, then it's different. But for now, just helping my mom and dad out a little bit, but mainly saving my money.
That's nice. That's smart, man. It's really smart. If you weren't a pro basketball player, what would you be doing?
I wasn't a pro basketball player. I love kids, you know, so I'll probably do something revolving around kids, like helping kids. So maybe a teacher. Definitely something within the community. I'm trying to get kids out the street. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff going up, so I take a liking towards helping people. I'm saying, get into better situations.
That's beautiful. If you were a teacher, though, what subject would you teach? And don't say phys ed, man, because, you know.
Definitely not math. And no, definitely not gym either, because I don't got the patience for kids to be running around screaming at me all day. But I don't even know. I don't really know. Maybe English.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe a writing class, because I like to write. It's kind of fun for me.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, English teachers are the best, because, like, you just give them some books to read and you discuss it, you know, like, it's fun. It's the most fun class.
Every English teacher I've had has been great.
Yeah.
And I never had a English teacher. Math, different story. They're so mean. I can't deal.
Yeah. No, forget math, man. No, we're good on that. All right. So I want to ask you this. To be honest, it's not even a question. I just realized this as I was preparing. So there's four Jamaicans on the team between you have Jamaican ancestry, Delano, Scotty, Kem. I don't even really have a question other than that it's really cool that the diaspora is all in one place and it's in Toronto places, you know? Like, this is a real Jamaican city.
Facts. It's definitely dope having those guys in the locker room, because, like, at times we just start speaking it. Like, we just start speaking it, like, slang it. It's just fun to be around.
Yeah, because I know in the practice facility they got all the flags for the different players and the nationalities and stuff. They just got to get the Jamaican flag on there just because, man. Because, you know, there's four of you guys.
That's the last one you got to get.
Yeah. Facts. All right, and then lastly, I kind of ask everyone this question when they come on the show, but have you seen that Max Kellerman clip about Andre Iguodala?
The last shot? Yeah.
I gotta ask you then. So, you know, fated universe on the line, the Martians at the death beam pointed at Earth, last shot, who do you want taking it? And you can have anybody in the history of basketball. Who's your pick?
Honest to God, I would say Fred. He doesn't miss. I don't think he misses.
Really?
No, I'm dead serious. He watching the game on the bench a lot of the time. Like,
no, come on, he's not listening to this. You don't have to say that.
It's sick. He doesn't miss a lot of times. Like, some of the shots he makes, like, he really, like, it's crazy. I would say either him or Ray Allen for sure. Okay.
Wow, that's high praise. We gotta make sure Fred hears this clip. So, Justin, man, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. You know, you're doing great this season. Everyone's really enjoying following you on the season, and best of luck moving forward, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you.